Well, hello, Linda. This is Rich. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Well, so much to talk about in your career, but I thought we'd start at the beginning. That seems like a pretty good place. You began as a model, and I understand you had you had a pretty good mentor when it came to that. Your mom actually taught at the modeling school.
My mom was like a railroad going through town. If she wanted you to get something done, you were darn well going to get it done.
And now you were born in Texas, eventually made your way to Arizona, and as you made that shift from modeling to acting, can you talk about the influence that Richard Charlton and the Sombrero Playhouse had on your career?
Oh, my goodness. Richard Charlton was just a sweet, loving person, just a real charming guy. And he had this theater, and I think it was, I met him at the, what was it? I think it was, I can't remember what the play was right now, but I didn't get it anyway. I was too young. but I met him there, and we just had a great relationship. He was just superb. He and my mom and dad got together, and they talked and did all kinds of wonderful stuff to keep me active in acting, so that when I went to New York, I ended up at the Actors Institute in New York, and I just really loved it, had so much fun, and did a trillion different plays, and then ended up in a wonderful play on Broadway.
You did Broadway. You moved from stage to television and film. And we've said this about guests before, looking at their credits and said, wow, they were in every TV show. But I think it's actually true with you. When I look through all of the programs that you did, my goodness, you were a busy woman. And some of my favorite series, you did a couple of episodes of, I think, one of the best series of all town. Any time it comes on in reruns, I have to watch. What was it like working on the road in Route 66?
Oh, gosh. It was great. We had a ball. That was we were up here for a little while in Washington State doing whatever we were doing here. So we had a great time. Those guys were hard working people, and they worked very nearly 24/7, even though back then the weekend was sacrosanct. It wasn't quite as sacrosanct on the road, so we did do some work on the road during weekends, but it was wonderful stuff.
As a young guy back in the 60s, thanks to David Janssen and The Fugitive, and because my name was Richard Kimball, he was Dr. Richard Kimball, I got a new nickname. I became The Fugitive and still have that nickname to many people for all these years. But how was that? I was a big fan of David Janssen. How was it working with him?
There are very few people that I didn't really, really enjoy working with. And he was just one of the sweethearts. He and Chris were friends, and when I worked on the show, I didn't know that they knew each other, but they knew each other, and he was just all ready with questions and information, and he just had something to say to people, and I think he really did a wonderful job of endearment of that character to people all over the country.
We're talking with Linda Day George here on Downtown. Well, you mentioned Chris, and such a big part of your story is your relationship with your late husband, Christopher George. Was it on the set of Gentle Rain that you two met each other?
No, actually, it was in New York that we met each other. We were both models with Ford Modeling Agency. And as a result, he was with Ford Men, I was with Ford Women. And as a result of that, we would occasionally run into each other at one shoot or another, or I'd be leaving and he'd be coming in, or one or the other. You know, but it was really great. He was such a good man. He was just, well, he meant the world to me. So there you are.
I read an interview where you said Chris wasn't a perfect man, but he was the perfect man for you.
Yes. That's absolutely perfectly true.
You would work together again, and not only an opportunity to work with Chris, but also to work with John Wayne on Chisholm.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, that scared me to death. Oh, my gosh. I'd never, of course, met him until that time, and it was actually kind of comical. I mean, I was standing there and talking with Mike and Chris, and I forget, somebody else was there in on that conversation too, but Mr. Wayne walked up, but he walked up kind of behind me, and I heard his voice. And I turned around, and there was this huge, tall person that I had never met before that I absolutely idolized. He was just one of my most favorite people in the whole world. I thought of him as my country, my flag, my freedom, my peace. It was... that turning around and seeing him there, I broke into tears. So.
Yeah, looking probably as big as he did on the big screen.
Uh-huh. And he said, "What's the matter?" You know, start like backing away, like oh, and I didn't know what to say, and I just said, how would you feel if the Statue of Liberty was talking to you?
I love
that's
it.
That's all I could do. But that was it. He was just a wonderful guy, and he was, you know, really, really popular with the guys on the set, all the stunt guys and the horsemen and just everybody. And he was incredibly friendly and open. And I really enjoyed working on that show. And Chris would laugh at me all the time. He would say, "Are you staring at him again?" Yes.
No shame in that. 1971, you joined the cast of an established hit, Mission Impossible, as Lisa Carey, a role that would earn you Emmy nominations, Golden Globe nominations. It was such a great cast and such a wonderful role. And one of the things I loved about that role is that, as an obviously very attractive woman, made an impression on me as a 14-year-old. I remember that. But Lisa was such a cerebral character. It was not the kind of role that women often got in those days.
I know, and I was so grateful because it was just like what I had been doing all along. I was playing a different kind of character every show, every episode was new, exciting, and different, and I loved it, and I really loved working with that team. They were just a superb group of people.
I understand you really forged a close relationship with Peter Graves.
I did. He was a really wonderful man. mentor and friend. You know, he was so willing to have me on the show and so helpful. I mean, he would introduce me to people all the time that were, you know, crew members on the set that I may not have known or I may not have worked with on a different show. But I felt really at home and comfortable. Greg Morris was another one that was just, he was just such a sweet person. He was a really, he was like the your youngest brother, you know. you want to take care of him and you want to make sure he's okay, and you have this great relationship. You can talk about anything, and you did, because there were always some issue to bring up to discuss, and he was a lovely person. He really was.
It's always fun for any actor to get to play a bad guy and a villain. How much fun did you have working with Linda Carter playing the Nazi Wonder Woman?
I loved it. I loved it. That was one of my very favorite things, where you get to play the anti-character lead, you know.
Now, did you know Linda before that from back in Arizona?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Actually, we were both at Flair Modeling School for a period of time, and we met at some of the high school functions, too.
You did a number of episodes of The Love Boat. We had a chance just about a year ago to talk with Gavin McLeod here on our program. And my goodness, he was about the sweetest man we've ever had the occasion to talk to.
Yes. And you know, he truly, that was truly him in there all the way through. A sweetheart of a person.
Now, you work so often with Chris in your career. Sometimes couples want to get a little break from each other. You're home at night, then you're working together. But it seems like you navigated that very, very successfully.
Thank you. I agree. We had a wonderful life together. I miss him today. You know, I know I can't have him today. And I miss him.
But I understand there's a grandchild that might just be the spinning image of him.
Absolutely. His our grandson, my son Nick, has a child named Christopher who is Christopher George, and he looks exactly like Christopher. A spitting image. And every time I see him, it takes me back. Oh, wait. And he says, I know, Grandma, I just look like Grandpa. Yeah, you do.
You were on so many game shows back in the 70s and the 80s, and you were very good at them. Especially, you seem to have a wonderful relationship with the very talented Bert Convy. Did you have fun on those shows?
Oh, Bert Convy was a wild man. He was wonderful fun. He was a good guy. He was really a smart guy, too. He was one of those people. It's really very intelligent and very funny. A really funny guy.
Now,
we did have a ball.
Yeah. Now, what about Gene Rayburn, who was famous for taking that sense of humor of his off stage as well? Did you experience that side of him?
Oh my goodness. Every time they called a break on the show, he was heading for the group up here on the wall. We couldn't get down fast enough. It was great. We did have fun on that show.
What prompted the move to Washington State, and what did that do for you?
Well, actually, what prompted the move was that my late husband, Cronin, who was a very close friend of Chris's, when they were hanging out together a lot, and I only met him at the house once, but I know Chris would constantly be saying, "Hey, I'm going out over to Doug's. You want to come with me?" "No, thanks. I'm going here," or "Judy and I are going to the movies." Or I liked Doug very much, and he was an amazingly good-looking person and a really gentle person as well. And his wife and I were very good friends, and we used to see each other all the time. I just didn't feel comfortable being around Doug at that time. So I was fine with that. And then when Chris passed away, Doug and Kathy were there a lot, and then all of a sudden Doug and Kathy were getting a divorce and she was moving somewhere, and I mean they were still in town. It was just that they were moving apart from each other. And I was very deep in mourning at that time of my life, and I guess it must have been 3 years later when I finally said, this isn't working for me. Every time I see you, Kathy, you're asking me about Doug, and have I, and will I, and no, I won't. Finally. And she said, "Oh, okay, fine, I won't ask anymore." And I said, "Thank you." So the next time that we had an opportunity to go out, Kathy and I were going to go out, but Doug showed up. And he said, Kathy said she would show up, but she's going to be a few minutes late. So I said, "Oh, fine, okay." Dang. But things finally got sifted around where, I'm feeling really wonderful with this person, and I really like him a lot, and this isn't okay. So I didn't want to see him anymore. And boy, oh boy, Kathy was persistent. She was very, very insistent on that we should be having a relationship. And I just wasn't up to a relationship. That's all there was to that. And so later, maybe a year or two later, it happened again, and I finally just surrendered. Said, "Oh, fine, okay, all right. What do you want to do? You want to go to dinner? What do you want to do?" "Yep, let's go out to dinner." So we did, and we started seeing each other on a fairly regular basis then. And my kids loved him. Jeez. And I'm trying to run away somehow or other. And his parents invited me to come up and visit up here in Sequim, because they had a house here. And so, okay, I did. And I fell in love with this place. And here I sit, right here in this incredible spot, brought to me by my second husband. And I am probably one of the most fortunate people I know.
Now, you've had a remarkable career, but I understand that you're thinking about getting back into acting. Is that right?
I'd love to, yeah. Well, you know, you grow up and you have different things to offer, and I think I've certainly grown old. Old is good, and I'm loving it. And here we are. I'm 70-something, and I love being up here, and I really would love the idea of getting back into doing something wonderful and fun that I can share with other people.
Well, I know so many people would love to see that. You always bring such honesty to your roles and such class to the way you live your life. And we hope to see that memoir. I know you had a setback. The writer you were working with passed away. I was very sorry to hear that. But I hope we get that Linda Day George memoir before too long.
So do I. That would be really wonderful. And I'll tell you, Mr. Zurich was one of the most wonderful young people I ever knew. He was incredibly bright and had just the biggest heart of anyone I'd ever met. He just was a wonder. And his sister, it breaks my heart every time I think of his passing and leaving her and her family, because I know they were wonderfully happy together, all of them. And so I hope we can finish that and get it out, and just in honor of his life, I would like that very much.
Well, we'd all love to read it as well. Linda, it has been a delight for us to have the opportunity to talk with you this afternoon. I've enjoyed your work for so many years. We appreciate you making time for us today. Wish you a continued good health and happiness, and hope to see you on a screen sometime down the road.
Thank you. Me too. Okay. You be good to you.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it. Thanks again for being with us.
I'm grateful. Thank you.